football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the CBFA podcast. Myself, Cole Fortner, alongside me, as always, James Parks.
Hey, hey.
And not too many games on the slate for us this weekend. Only one down at Scholdice, but three of our teams involved in games this weekend as provincials have started.
That's right. We hosted the Tier 4 final at Scholdice Park, which was between the Cochrane Lions and the Fort Saskatchewan Falcons. And that was a pretty entertaining football game.
Yeah, it definitely was a good matchup that we had at Scholdice over the weekend. And there was a little bit of chippiness, I think, from the bleachers, but I think that was more just Edmonton area parents being Edmonton area parents and not liking a lot of the calls that were happening and not happening, but I think the game was called fairly well from the officials. I don't know how you felt.
Well, from what I saw, I thought they called a good game. I thought, I think I overheard somebody mention that they might have missed a face mask. They're still human. They're probably going to miss a call here and there, but for the most part, they were calling what they saw, and it was a fairly called game. So
the game opened up with a 12-yard rushing touchdown from Fort Sask. Not long later, the Lions were able to respond off of a 1-yard touchdown from Logan Centroni doing the Kiwi keep up the middle. The Lions would later take the lead in the third quarter off a 6-yard run from Harlan Zinti. Fort Sask would almost instantly respond. Fort Sask did later respond with a 50-yard rushing touchdown. That convert was blocked by the Lions in the sense of the quarterback got sacked because provincial rules, we go back to proper convert points.
Kick is
worth one and a run or a pass is worth two. The reversed convert points is just a CBFA and SAFL ruling. And then I think it was the next play after that 50-yard rushing touchdown, like the next play after the kickoff, the Lions had an 84-yard rushing touchdown from Harlan Zinti as well and took that one to the house to extend the Lions' lead back up to 8.
Yeah.
And then late in the game, I think in the last like 30 seconds, the Lions ran around the back of the end zone and gave up a knee or a 2-point safety.
Yeah.
And that was really it for scoring wise.
That was it. Yeah. So the Lions secure the victory by a final score 22-16.
Right. Because the Lions also missed their convert on their third touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was an entertaining football game for sure.
Well, it really was. It was fairly evenly matched. Both teams were going back and forth, up and down the fields. I believe the Lions won the turnover battle. Don't quote me on that, but I think they did. I know they had a couple picks. There's one play where the Falcons actually stripped the ball straight from the Lions running back.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a strip that clean before.
That was something I noticed, was the Falcons were ball hawking a lot, trying to strip the ball away.
Or were they ball falconing?
Ball falconing. They were trying to get their talons on that pigskin.
I think one of the more notable plays in that game that I noticed was the Lions had a long run and the ball got fumbled into the end zone. And the Falcons actually ended up taking a penalty for interference on a loose ball after as they recovered the ball in the end zone. So they should have actually had possession, but because the penalty came out, it switches who has possession.
Oh.
Or who, or sorry, it doesn't switch who has possession, but it switches based off of who took the penalty or who got that penalty.
Yeah.
So because the Falcons interfered with the Lions' ability to get to the loose ball, even though I don't think the Lions player was ever going to be able to get to it, the Lions ended up getting possession at the one. And that's how they're able to score one of their touchdowns.
Yeah.
But it was almost a very, very bad play on the one before because the ball carrier was tried to turn around to see where the defensive player was behind him, and right as he turned his head, the defensive player made contact and the ball popped loose.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, you kind of just gotta just not turn around and just put your head down and just get to the end zone.
Right? Yeah. Wow. We
Especially
still
early in
see
the game
that
when you're
in the
down.
N we still see that in the NFL sometimes when a young player is crossing the goal line and they drop the ball before they
Oh
actually
yes.
cross the
Wasn't
goal
that
line.
situation, but yeah.
Yeah. No, somebody stripped it from, but yeah, same kind of similar type play.
Other games that we had in the provincials were the Mavericks playing in the Tier 3 provincial final against the Lloydminster Holy Rosary Junior Raiders. So the Mavericks just apparently can't escape from the Raiders. And score wise, they really just could not escape from the Raiders. They didn't put anything on the board, unfortunately, and ended up losing that one 35 to nothing. I don't have any details. I don't know if you've heard anything really about the game, but
I'm sorry, no, I didn't hear anything about it.
yeah, so we can't really comment on that, unfortunately, but we are still proud of our Mavericks team for representing us well up in Edmonton.
Yeah,
And
that's still a heck of a season for them.
especially after last year as well. Like, it's a good turnaround. And then we had the Airdrie Raiders playing down in Raymond in a Tier 1 provincial semifinal. Because Tier 1 works a little bit differently, whereas they actually have a semi-final round. And it was a repeat of last year's Tier 1 final, which was also in Raymond. And our team actually had a lot better success down there this year than last year.
Yeah, that's excellent.
The game was live streamed. I watched a little bit of it here and there, but because of our game and getting home and other stuff, I didn't watch a lot of it, but the Raiders did end up winning 42 to 22 over the Raymond Comets. And unfortunately, because I didn't really watch it, I can't really comment on it. I don't know if they sent out those notes like they've done in the past
Well, they may have.
with their fancy stats. Well, James looks for that.
Well, I look for that.
The other Tier 1 final featured the Leduc Ticats and the McGrath Zenits. I thought it was the McGrath Wolverines, but apparently it's the Zenits. And Leduc ended up winning that one 31 to 13, meaning that Airdrie will be heading up to Edmonton to play the Leduc Ticats in the Tier 1 final. And I will note that it's the first time since 2018 that Leduc has made a Tier 1 final, whereas it's Airdrie's second time in the last 2 years.
And there was
Yeah.
no press release from the Raiders this week.
Dang it, Raiders letting us down. Leduc has actually won the Tier 1 final before, but that was back in 1995.
So going back a ways.
Yeah.
But they must have a decent team if they're competing in the Tier One final.
Maybe Brooks that year.
There's a bunch of teams up there that are pretty darn good.
Yeah, they went to 3 straight, 93, 94, and 95, and they only came away with one. That's their only provincial championship, actually. Whereas the Raiders are still yet to have one, according to the Football Alberta website.
Well,
Which, to be fair, does have records that date back to 96. So, more records than we have on our website
wow.
now.
True that. Yeah, we
Dang
have
ramp.
lost connection to our past.
I wonder if there's a way to find that old website and the data on it. See, that would have been smart of us to do before we did that switch.
Right.
Just make notes of things. Hindsight 2020. Hey, James. Yeah, no, so it should be a good one. I do plan on heading up to Edmonton next weekend, at least for some social media aspects of it. So I will hopefully remember to take notes and have some information on the Raiders Leduc game.
Cool.
So that will be for our later podcast. Well, actually, no, that's for later in this podcast because we're not releasing it this week and more editing for James to cut out.
That's right. That'll be for another day. But it'll be the same day if you're listening. So.
The Airdrie Raiders were able to do what they didn't do last year, and they actually went out on the road and they brought home the Division One provincial title. They
Congratulations to them.
went up to Sherwood Park, took on the Leduc Ticats, and it was the Davin Bankabobone show. Three touchdowns, including one where he quite literally rolled into the end zone, which I managed to grab a very nice photo of. And that's actually already up on our Instagram. There's a nice sequence shot there. And yeah, no, the Raiders outplayed Leduc through and through. The bus ride back, head coach Steve Kemp was saying that I think that Airdrie punted three times in the game. And so it's like, then they're pretty well scoring through most of the rest of the drives. So it was Leduc was keeping themselves in the game, but when because they were scoring as well, but when you're not scoring as much as your opponents are, it's a little tough to stay in the game as much.
Yeah, for sure.
Both teams moved the ball exceptionally well. It was a bit more of a defensive struggle, but both defenses did actually keep their teams into the game. Airdrie's just held on a lot better than Leduc's did, and that is primarily why Airdrie was able to come away with the victory that they did. But no, otherwise it was a great weekend, a good road trip up with the team, and very very good hosting experience from the CDMFA as well. So it was very good all around.
Fantastic.
And the final score in that game, just give me a hot second here. It was the Airdrie Raiders winning at 49-21.
So pretty convincing.
Yeah, their closest game all year, the Airdrie Raiders, was week two against the Eagles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, feel good about yourselves, Eagles. That's a darn good football team in Airdrie.
Yeah, and the fact that it was that, and like I think Kemp was saying that the number of games they gave up, as many as like 21 points, was very, very few as well, the Raiders this year. And
Yeah, they had a fantastic season.
that week two game was 35-16 in favor of the Raiders as well.
Yeah, so not all that close.
No, but yeah, it was still their closest, and it was Yeah, no, that just shows you how impressive and good of a team that they've had this year.
They ran the table, start to finish, perfect season. So
Yeah, they
congrats
did.
to Coach Kemp and everybody. Davin Bacabuoni sure was an all-star by all accounts.
And the other thing is to note that that's their first ever provincial championship as well.
Really? That is surprising.
Yeah, their
'Cause
first. Oh,
they've had good teams in the past too.
but I think it's only their third time going. Last year
Wow.
was the second, or no, it was their second time going. Last
Wow.
year was their first, I
Huh.
think. I have it here somewhere.
Well, they've started a trend.
Oh no, sorry, they went once before. They went in 2019 to the Tier 3 provincial. But they lost that one. They lost it to the Edmonton Chargers. Someone has notes, and that person would be me. But speaking of All-Stars, we have confirmed who our All-Stars are, or at least our vice president and former president, being Dan Patterson and Ron Logan, have confirmed our All-Stars. And yeah, Davin Bacabuoni was one of the two quarterback All-Stars for the year. The other one was from the Wildcats, their quarterback number 15, Josh McIntosh.
Yeah, Josh McIntosh had a good season too.
So those two made up the only two All-Stars for quarterbacks this year, which was fewer than last year. But we have rejigged some things this year because we have additional guests this year from SAFL. So we've adjusted some things for our banquet this year. So that means some fewer All-Stars, but
Couple fewer all-stars, but more awards all
yeah,
over.
we're recognizing more players in more aspects.
So that's pretty cool.
Moving on in our all-star lists, we moved to running backs, where we had six running backs. We have, in no particular order, Colts number one, Svetek Sarita. Eagles number 22, Oliver Bennett. Mavericks number 16, Kyle Chevrier. Rebels number 16, Alex Corbett. Raiders number 20, Christian McGilligott, and Wildcats number 20, Lewis Wang.
Yeah, that's a good list. Those are all great players.
Then we move on to our receivers. We only had five this year. First one being from the Cowboys, number 17, Uzziah Castilla. From the Eagles, number 14, Jacob Seenan. From the Lions, number 25, Harlan Zinti. From the Raiders, number 11, Hudson McLeod. And also from the Raiders, number 80, Marshall Stevens.
Nice. Yeah, again, yeah, these are all good choices.
Yeah, I don't think it was an easy pick this year for some of these positions.
Well, the hard part is to pare it down to fewer, right?
Yeah.
Lot of great performances this year and on every team.
Moving on to one of the positions that doesn't get a whole lot of love on the field, but is extremely vital, the O-line. We had seven O-linemen make the All-Star list this year.
Nice.
From the Bulldogs, number 62, Lucas Behringer. From the Eagles, number 64, Elijah Friesen. From the Lions, number 63, Colton Marshall. From the Raiders, number 63, Zaden Barnaby. From the Raiders, also from the Raiders, sorry, number 65, Liam Haynes. From the Rebels, number 26, Wild Murdoch. And from the Stampeders, number 43, Aiden McDonald.
Nice. Oh, that's your O-line selections.
And then on the other side of the ball, your D line. We had number 58 from the Bulldogs, Adam Kesselman. Number 59, also from the Bulldogs, Fernando Blythe. From the Cowboys, number 77, Levi Jackson. From the Eagles, number 90, Logan Hutchinson. From the Mavericks, number 77, Jordan Morin. from the Raiders, number 34, Blake Van Kessel. Also from the Raiders, number 91, Luka Emmett. And from the Wildcats, number 54, Benjamin Reed.
Nice.
So a lot from the D line.
Yeah. And that's good. That shows there's a lot of defensive development going on.
Well, that's just the D line. That doesn't count the linebackers.
Right?
And on that note, our linebacker all-stars from the Colts, number 35, Emmett Bernand. From the Cowboys, number 33, Maximus Piatelli. Also from the Cowboys, number 43, Lasellus Brown. From the Eagles, number 34, Emmett Riall. From the Lions, number 90, Oliver Kaiser. From the Mavericks, number 12, Matteo Deluzio. From the Raiders, number 35, Hudson Frampton. From the Wildcats, number 40, Olin Metcalf. And also from the Wildcats, number 44, Rizzo Aserve.
Wow. Yeah. Again,
I think
lots
over
of
half
good
of our
players.
list right now is defensive players.
How about DBs?
We have four DBs. First off, from the Bulldogs, number 18, Tim, your last name is way too hard to pronounce. Mukhim
Mets Mukhim Mukhametsianov.
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I don't
We
have it in
apologize,
front of me,
Tim.
but I said it over the loudspeakers a few times.
We apologize. It is really difficult, and we try our best.
Yeah, well, it took me some practice before I could, feel comfortable with it.
From the Cowboys, number 23, Mekhi Williams. From the Raiders, number 21, Smith Layton. And from the Wildcats, number 5, Maurice Dinn.
Nice.
A good round bunch of, strong athletes. I don't know whom has made selects. I've not made it out to a tryout or practice yet.
That's okay. We like to separate the selects from the all-stars, so we won't talk about selects today.
No, but that is underway. The select tryouts have happened. Practices are officially underway. So congrats to those who have made it. But yes, like James said, the all-stars and the selects are not the same.
And when are yeah, well, I was going to ask, but yeah, let's save that. We'll worry about the selects another time.
Yeah, I'll cover that in the
Yeah,
next episode.
there's a lot to talk about with the selects, but yeah, we'll get
I'll
into
cover
it
that in the
another time.
next episode. It's fine. Yeah, when I actually have a voice.
Yeah, that's how we'll wrap the season with the selects.
Yeah, no, still football happening. We got, selects and stuff obviously coming up for their games. Still high school football going on in Calgary. Two Calgary teams have actually made it to the Alberta Bowl final, or the Alberta Bowl final, which is a little awkward because they have to play each other in Edmonton.
Both from Calgary, and they got to go to Edmonton to play. That's awkward.
So congrats to Ernest Manning and Notre Dame for making it to the final and having to go up to Edmonton to play in that game. And then congrats to Centennial, Western, and I believe Lester B. Pearson for winning the high school championships as well. Those happened earlier this week. No, correction. Father Lacombe, not Lester B. Pearson. Centennial, Western, and Father Lacombe for winning their high school championships this week.
There you go.
I'm
Good
sure
on
there is
them.
CBFA players on some of those teams.
I'm sure there's CBFA players everywhere, graduates of the Bantam program. Except, in the Peewees. There's no Bantams there.
Are we like the Saskatchewan Roughriders, just how they spread out and cover the entire world?
Yeah, that's gonna be us.
I'll take it.
Oh, and yeah, while we're at it, congratulations to the Saskatchewan Roughriders for winning the Grey Cup. That was an exciting game, and at least it wasn't a blowout.
Well, if you want to go that far, you might as well thank or congratulate the Montreal Canadiens for beating U of S as well in Saskatchewan for the venue as well.
Oh, that was heartbreaking for Saskatchewan. They were looking for the trifecta.
That would have been at home too.
Yeah.
Well, kind of in Regina.
All right. So we're going to wrap this up, and that's going to be it for the season. We've got the awards banquet to go and the selects, and those are coming up in early December. So right now it is late November. It's November the 24th as we're recording this, and yeah, we've had a fantastic season. It's been a lot of great football from a bantam standpoint. We had an undefeated team win the provincial tier one. We had all of our other teams were competitive, and we had a lot of exciting games. We had probably fewer blowouts this year than we have in the past, so a little more parity, which is what we're after. That's secondary, though. First and foremost, it's about the development of the players, and I think we successfully do that every year, as is evidenced in how many of our former players are still playing out there in, junior football, high school, the CFL, and even the NFL. So they're out there, and we're going to keep developing our players. So thanks everybody for tuning in. We will have one more podcast episode that will cover the selects and how they do. So stay tuned for that coming up in a couple of weeks. But that's going to put a wrap on our regular season and our playoffs and our provincials for the CBFA. So thanks again, Cole, for being such a great co-host. And thanks to everybody else who joined us this year. We had a number of our announcers come and fill in, help out, and we appreciate that. So we're looking forward to more of that next year. And on that
Yeah,
note,
James. I don't think I can sum it up much better than what you just did. You are 100% correct. I think it's probably one of the best seasons that we've had. It's been the best season that we've had since I've been a part of the league. And yeah, no, it's looking forward to selects, looking forward to next year. It's, ready to go.
right on. And we'll close it out in our new old-fashioned way.
Go football.
Go football.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles at their new location, 756 100 First Street, Southwest Calgary, or online, www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Thank you for listening.